And it's sort of more fantastic. Everyone in the book is called Sam. I mean, it's funny in a much more sort of in a fantasy universe of its own. But he wouldn't have done it unless he also thought of it as something that was a book about African Americans that, you know, that had been messed up. It was a fundamentally a charming story that had been presented in a way that made it anything but charming. Anyhow, well, there's even more confusing stuff about this story, but my time is up. So, what can I tell you? Happy Year of the Tiger. I'll be back next week with more. And who am I? I'm Ann Marie Henriksen. What is the show? With the show is The Mansion for the Rat. You're listening to WBAI FM 99.5. Listener-sponsored Free Speech Radio, part of the Pacifica Radio Network. And please stay tuned for The Dustbin of History with Max Schmid. Good night.
And now we wait for the program to be saved from one computer in another room to this computer in this room. That was A Mansion for the Rat with Ann Marie Henriksen from February of last year for the Chinese New Year. Yeah, the Year of the Tiger. Maybe next week we'll get the Year of the Rabbit. Who knows? Keep your fingers crossed. Keep clapping. Maybe Tinkerbell will come alive. And let's see how long we have to wait to get the Dustbin of History for this evening featuring, a very special premiere, something we've been looking for seemingly generations from 1970, WBAI, the radio, episode one, an origin story, and I'll say no more. Maybe I'll have it posted to Facebook before it actually is broadcast. I don't know. I managed to finish the whole show. Unfortunately, the whole show takes some time to save. Oh, my, oh, my. And where is it? I don't even see it here. All right, well, you better listen to this while I run in the other room and see what the bloody bleep is going on. What do we got? Well, we must have something for you nice here. Oh, an obsolete trucking tower fund. We're all the goddamn tower fund promos. Well, yeah. Something to get in your hair.
For 21 years, a giant spider, one of Britain's greatest, was thought to be extinct. But thanks to the tireless efforts of one man, the great fox spider was finally observed on a military base after 2 years of searching. Mike Waite from Surrey Wildlife Trust is credited with the discovery. The great fox arachnid hunts at night and moves with tremendous speed and flexibility. The little beast has eyes all the way around its head, making it difficult for prey to remain unseen. The discovery does not mean the spider is not endangered. In fact, the great fox spider is more than ever critically too close to extinction to ignore. Adjustments in society that benefit all insects will benefit the intimidating creature. The great fox spider is a member of the wolf spider family, which do not use webs to catch prey. Instead, it literally chases its prey, like insects and other spiders, before attacking and injecting them with deadly venom. The victim's internal organs are liquefied, then sucked out as food with ferocious-looking fangs. The spider, thank God, poses no risk to humans. My name is Rising Moon, and this is a Small World Radio production.
A station dedicated to and sponsored by its listeners. From 1960 to present day, WBAI has been promoting an innovative perspective of news, public affairs, music, arts, health, and science. In order to provide a truly unique voice to New York City, WBAI receives its financial assistance from listeners like you. To help WBAI continue this tradition, you can become a BAI buddy by giving a generous monthly donation of as little as $10. It's a safe, secure, and simple way to support your local station.
Yeah, give us money, 212-209-2950, but you won't because you're a bunch of tightwad folks. Be my buddy. Be a buddy of the Dustbin of History. Commencing now. WBAI New York. I want to eat. I want to go home. Can I do either? No. Where's my microwave? Where's my refrigerator? Where's my tea? History. I'm your curator and janitor, Max Schmid. Another late start due to WBAI New York. And what have we got for you today? A never-before-rebroadcast episode of Gene Shepherd that is nowhere to be found on the internet. I made damn sure of it. A premiere of a WBAI series, well, the first rebroadcast, perhaps. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. It'll be a surprise. I'll go look at the Dustbin of History, the Dustbin of History Facebook page, and you'll see. We have an episode of Nightfall, and we're going to begin with some music. Jeff Beck from his final full LP release, Loud Hailer, with Rosy Bones.
We will live in the dark. Won't see me dying in the light. I will live in the dark. I'm not afraid of the dark. If we gotta live in the dark, we will live in the dark. Won't see me dying in the light. We will live in the dark. Just
toxic situation.
So badly I must cry out loud. I what you are. You make it hard. A little less bottom end on the guitar, please. Remember what we've said and done and felt about each other. Oh, babe, have mercy. Don't let the past remind us of what we are not now. I'm not dreaming. I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. You make it yourself away from me now. You are free and I am crying. This does not mean I don't love you. I do. That's forever, baby. Yes, and for always. I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. Inside is telling me that I've got your secret. Are you still listening? Fear is the lock and laughter the key to your heart. Yes, and I love you. I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. Make it hard, hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard. Friday evening, Sunday. What have you got to lose? Tuesday morning, please be gone, I'm tired of you. What have you got to lose?
Sparrow, sing a song, don't be long. How can you catch the sparrow?
Little tingly reek, who's in love lamenting? Change my life, make it right, be my lady.
Thank you. We needed that.
This is our second gig.
This is the second time we've ever played in front of people, man. We're scared shitless.
Oops.
By the way, this program may contain frank language. Tune away, tune away, tune away.
We'd like to feature Neil Young now on organ on a song that Neil wrote. It's called The Sea of Madness.
Yes, equal time for David Crosby, Crosby, Stills, and Nash at Woodstock, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, oh, and Young, I'm perhaps. And because I don't know the timing of the show yet, I can't tell you which Jeff Beck's tunes we heard, but Going Down was certainly one of them. Well, let's turn to our episode of Nightfall for this evening. It's episode number 47, the ninth of the second series, if I'm interpreting this data correctly, from January 22nd, 1982. Your fortune in 20 words or less. Yes, it's our almost weekly episode of Nightfall, here in Dustbin of History, WBAI, New York.
Dream, you are falling, lost in the listening distance as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. Tonight, you'll have to take your chances, because your luck may change at any time. Hope you can afford it. The play, a new one by Larry LeClaire, is called Your Fortune in 20 Words or Less.
There is only one Adolfo. Ladies and gentlemen, step inside and begin a journey into your future. The amazing Adolfo will unveil your hopes, your dreams. Once you meet Adolfo, you will never forget. Your fortune in 20 words or less. Imagine the possibilities. There is only one Adolfo. Ladies and gentlemen, step inside and begin a journey.
Once you meet Adolfo, you will never forget. Sounds like you're going to roll somebody. Benny, you listening to me?
I heard you, so you don't like the tape. What else is new?
The tape. That's what should be new. Will you stop staring at yourself in the goddamn mirror and look at me? I'm talking to you.
So talk. I mean, what's wrong with the tape? It's simple. It's direct.
It's cheap.
Okay, so it's cheap. So what? What's the matter with you, huh?
I mean, it's 6 months since Adolfo took that header off the wheel. What is it, guilt?
Guilt? So now you're a psychiatrist, right?
You were with him when he fell. I mean, that's bound to have some effect on a person.
He was a big, dumb peasant, okay? We were up on the wheel. He was half-loaded, horsing around. He started doing some kind of Hungarian two-step right at the top. I was fixing a loose bolt on an I-beam. I looked over. 1 minute he was there, and the next he was gone. Simple as that, okay? Case closed.
So how come you spend half your time sitting in front of a mirror staring at yourself, huh? I mean, hell, Benny, it's not natural. Well, you cut it out. I'm serious.
So am I.
Benny, this is a two-bit operation playing dead-end towns in the middle of nowhere. They put $3 down as a joke, and they come in here expecting to hear tall, dark strangers, long trips, and all that other crap. The point is speed, Benny, not accuracy.
A joke, huh? Okay, Mike, you wanted me to look at you? Okay, I'm looking. Know what I see? I see a dumb rigger who's got a cushy job taking tickets.
You were a rigger.
Right, I was a rigger. I didn't stay a rigger, did I? You don't see me climbing rides with a wrench like some kind of trained monkey anymore, do you?
So what?
Adolfo knew, that's what. He didn't care. He was too dumb to care, but he knew. He could tell you how much change you had in your pocket, how many beer you'd drink tonight, what in hell you'd have for dinner tomorrow. Know what he said? He said the whole thing was done in mirrors.
There! See? What'd I tell you? It's a joke. All done with mirrors.
Not with mirrors, in mirrors. Before you can see into anything, you have to be able to see into yourself. You stare at your eyes in a mirror, staring back into your eyes. You want to turn away, but you can't. You're held there until you start to see deeper and deeper.
You believe that crap? You're cracking up. You know that, Benny? I mean, anybody who'd listen to that drunken slob is bad enough. But to take him seriously, Adolfo?
All right, Mike. You want fortunes. How about your fortune, huh? You want it in 20 words or less? Sure. How about small-time, second-rate peanuts, huh? How's that?
Well, if I'm peanuts, what in hell kind of nuts are you?
Mike, I'm talking $40-$50 a shot minimum. Who knows what they'll pay in the big time?
Adolfo thought this was the big
time.
That
was Adolfo.
So what?
So he's dead and I'm not.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
What? Didn't somebody tell you to wait at the door till they took your ticket? Then you
I'm sorry, but you don't seem to understand. I don't have a ticket because there's no one selling tickets. I'd like to pay.
Ah, damn. I better go see. You ready?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, then, that's...
$3, correct? There you are.
Thanks. Oh, Adolfo. Try and remember what I told you?
Yeah, sure, Mike. Try and sell a few tickets, handle your end first, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Very funny.
Okay, now, sit down.
Okay.
The first thing we do...
Oh, before I forget. Here, you'd better have this.
Why? What is it?
My address. Make sure you don't lose it now. It's really not a very good hotel, but I arrived on rather short notice, and I'm afraid it's the best I could do.
Wait a minute. Why would I want your address? I mean, I don't make house calls, you know.
Very good. Anyway, you keep the address, just in case.
In case of what?
Oh, you might want to look me up. These days, who can tell,
Yeah, sure, if that's what you want. I'll just keep it for a future reference. Now, the first thing I want you to do is to tell me,
How long? Hey, pay attention, okay? I haven't got all night.
Certainly. I was just having a look around. No crystal ball, no watches or whirling lights. Very good. I like that. No gizmos, no machinations. You do it simply. Always the best. Let me guess. The eyes. Correct?
Yeah, that's right.
It's the best by far. The best and the most timeless. Did you know that? The pool precedes all others without question.
The pool?
Yes. The effect is of a swimmer diving in a pool. Once he succeeds in breaking the surface and entering the pool, he finds the water endless, boundless, totally without limit.
You've done it, haven't you?
Oh, I may have dabbled once upon a time.
Where? Maybe you made your money and got out, huh?
No, not quite. They retired me. I suppose semi-retired is more accurate. The occasional investigation, Mr. Larson.
Wait a minute. How the hell do you know my real name, huh?
Oh, good Lord, did I... I did say it, didn't I?
Yeah, you said it. Who are you? Who sent you here? Did Mike put you up to this? Come on, answer me.
Please. I can assure you there's nothing to get upset about. My name is Mercurian, and I've come to have you read my fortune.
Like hell you have.
The truth, I assure you. Every word, the truth. All right, I suppose I've already blundered this far. You may as well know the rest. To put it simply, Mr. Larson, I represent the body of people you wish to join. I'm frankly surprised Adolfo never mentioned it. I suppose if he'd had more time...
Hold it. Let me get this straight. What kind of people belong to this organization?
Oh, many kinds. All races, colors, creeds... People simply gifted, people highly talented, all joined by a common denominator, the ability to see.
See? You mean see the future?
Not necessarily. Some are exceptionally good at seeing the past or the present. A few, usually those serving on the tribunal, can see all three.
And you? You're like a baseball scout, right? An old guy on the lookout for new talent, right?
We're very experienced people, Mr. Larson. It's often possible to help a young apprentice like yourself.
Help? You mean you can teach me to see?
Probably. It depends how close you've come to the surface of the pool. And that's why I'm here. You see, by allowing you to read my fortune, I should be able to read yours.
This is unbelievable. Like a dream.
I can assure you, Mr. Larson, it's no dream. Let's begin, shall we? The sooner we begin, the sooner we shall know.
There is only one Adolfo. Ladies and gentlemen, step inside and begin a journey into your future. The amazing Adolfo will unveil your hopes, your dreams. Once you meet Adolfo, you will never forget.
There. That should about do it.
That's it?
Yes, I should think so.
But I didn't do anything, did I? I mean, one minute we were eye to eye, then nothing. I didn't see anything.
Don't worry, Mr. Larson. You will.
Really? I will? You know that for sure?
I take it you find the prospect exciting.
Exciting? Are you kidding? It's fantastic.
You wanted a gift. You now have that gift. The rest is in the hands of the tribunal.
Oh, don't worry. I won't forget. I promise. Oh, God. I mean, I can't see... When?
It'll start slowly at first. After that, to quote your predecessor, imagine the possibilities.
Hey, how did you know Adolfo wrote that?
What in the hell's going on in here? I got three couples waiting, and it looks like rain.
What gives you the right to come barging in here, Mike?
Gargin, in. You've been in here goddamn near an hour. What? Can't be.
Well, gentlemen, I can see you're busy, so I'll,
Wait a minute. You're sure? I mean, you're absolutely sure, right?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I just made a few minor adjustments. You'd have done it on your own eventually.
Minor adjustments? What have you guys been doing in here? Fixing radios?
Listen, Mercurian.
I repeat, don't worry, Mr. Larson. And don't forget where you put my address. In the rush, it's often easy to forget. Now, gentlemen, I wish you both a pleasant and profitable evening.
Hey.
Good night.
Hey, wait a second. Mercurian. Look, Benny, I'm tired of this crap. Now, I've got three couples waiting. Nice, ordinary customers. Now, you might not find them as interesting as some weird old guy in a three-piece suit, but if you don't put them through, all of them, before the rain hits, I'll have your goddamn hide. Do you understand me, Benny? I mean, you either want this job or you don't, okay?
Oh, I want it, Mike. Go on. Go get him. I mean, there's only one way to find out, right? Well, what are you waiting for, Christmas?
Huh? Oh, yeah. I'll go get him. Jeez, the guy's getting weirder by the minute. Well, that'll be it for the night. I gotta hand it to you, Benny. You got him in and out before the rain. Mind you, it was just by hair, but what the hell, huh? Benny? Now, what's wrong?
Nothing.
Look, so we only made a lousy $12. What could we do, huh? It started to rain. I mean, look on the bright side, will you? At least we didn't have to give refunds.
Shut up.
Hey, look, I was just...
I didn't see anything. I saw nothing, okay? It was all a joke. A lousy, cheap setup, understand?
Understand what? What are you trying
to... I looked at each and every one of them. Know what I saw? Nothing, not one thing. It was all just the same old tired shtick.
Well, what'd you expect to see? Stars?
He promised me, understand? He promised.
Who? You mean that old guy?
Oh, I'll get it, Mike. Sooner or later, I'll get it. And all the sick old men with their cheap gags won't stop me, understand? Nothing is gonna stop me.
Hey, come on. Will you get a hold of yourself? I mean, where are you gonna go in this rain, huh?
I'm gonna go out and get as drunk as I can, as fast as I can. If I'm not gonna see anything, I'm not gonna see anything. So just leave me alone, okay? Leave me to hell alone. Just a lousy joke. I wouldn't join the goddamn tribunal if you paid me.
Ooh, boy. Chuck one up to the funny farm.
I'm coming.
Your name Benny Larson?
Yeah. Who are you?
Name's Townsend, police. Like to ask you some questions.
Yeah.
What about? I'll ask, you answer, all right?
Hey, what is this?
I'll ask, you answer. You work as a fortune teller, right?
Right.
Last night, did you tell a Mrs. Adelaide Marcus, in front of a witness, that a young man would come running into her life, giving her a gift of red, probably roses?
Yeah, the fat lady...
Did you tell her that?
Yeah, that was it. 20 words or less. Why?
She got a gift of red, all right. She was beaten and robbed by some young punk on the street last night. Damn near bled to death.
What?
Next, an older man, Robert Myers. Did you tell him, also in front of a witness, that, quote, his life would change drastically?
That was it?
His life changed drastically, all right. He rolled his car in the rain. Severed spine. Never walk again. I had a look at the car. You were right about that, too. He is a lucky man. lucky to be alive.
Oh, God. Mercurian was right. I can feel it.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but you can be damn sure I'm gonna find out. Now, here's the capper. You told a young man, Tom Bradley, in front of his wife, that he'd be going on a long, long trip and she'd be coming into a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
Well, this morning Mrs. Bradley's $100,000 richer. Life insurance money. She found her husband dead in the bed this morning. Heart attack. Now, Mr. Fortune Teller, suppose you tell me how you knew, huh? I know your type. Cheap scam at a midway. Now, all of a sudden, I've got three people telling me you foretold the whole thing.
You find that difficult to believe?
Come on, don't give me that. All you guys are fake. A few bucks and a crystal ball.
George Townsend, isn't it?
How do you know
16 years as a cop, right? Got a plainclothes job a year ago, last March.
How do you know that?
Easy, George. I know that the same way I know you've got a buck 86 in your right front pants pocket and you fool around on your wife every second Thursday when you're supposed to be bowling. How's that? Want more?
Holy Mother God.
I got it. Oh, God. I got the whole thing. All of it. Slow at first, just like he said.
Wait a minute. I'm not finished with you
yet.
Yes,
you are, George. You're finished. I was out in the town last night, got a million witnesses. I'll be here for the rest of the week in case you want more answers. Any more questions?
What? I mean, slow down.
Cap, George. Gotta see a man about the future. I still don't understand why you have to drag me out here, Benny. Where the hell are we going anyway?
Relax, Mike. I'm gonna prove to you that I'm not crazy.
Jeez, will you slow down? You want me to drive? You can't see a damn thing in this rain. What do you...
Don't worry, Mike. I can see. There's a woman with three kids in the back of a station wagon gonna cut me off at the next intersection. I'll get through on the yellow light. She'll hit the horn, and other than that, we'll be fine.
What? I mean, come on, Benny. You don't really expect me to believe that. Hey, watch it! Jesus, that was close.
Don't worry. They're all right, just in a rush. Late for a dentist appointment.
God, Benny. It is true, isn't it? Everything you say is true.
Starting to believe, huh, Mike?
Do you have any idea what this means?
Oh, yeah. It means as much as I want it to mean, Mike. I just have to check in with this Mercurian, let him know he's got another member, then who knows, huh? Imagine the possibilities.
Exactly. I mean, can you imagine the coverage we'll get? The press, all those talk shows. I mean, talk about prime time.
Once you enter the pool, it's totally without limit. Mercurian said that, Mike. He knows.
I'll tell you who knows. The amazing Adolfo. That's who knows, right?
You better believe it, Mike. You better believe it.
Come in.
Well, I'm here.
Yes, so I see.
Well, what now?
Now?
Yeah, now. How do I go about joining?
Joining? Joining what?
Hey, come on, don't play dumb. You know what? Joining the organization, the Tribunal.
Oh, you aren't joining anything, Mr. Larson.
What? Why not? Isn't that why you left your address? Isn't that why you gave me power to see?
No, not quite.
What do you mean, not quite? Are you saying there isn't any organization?
Oh, there's an organization, all right. And it is headed by a tribunal. I didn't lie to you, Mr. Larson. I never lie to anyone.
So why the hell can't I join?
There are many reasons, Mr. Larson. I told you, my job is to investigate, to inspect for safety. Well, you've been inspected and found to be patently unsafe.
Why? What are you talking about?
Oh, I think you know already, don't you? Adolfo was a simple man, a crude man in many ways, but he hardly deserved to be thrown off the top of a Ferris wheel.
You knew all along.
You knew.
Well, of course we knew. It's our job to know. How else could we protect our membership? We know, we decide, and we act.
He teased me. Understand? Him, a goddamn drunken pig, called me. Monkey laughed at me. All because he could see and I couldn't. He wouldn't tell me how to do it. I was a toy, a dog, something he could feel better than, something he could tease. I was sick of it.
Please, Mr. Larson, spare me the gory details.
I don't need you, old man. I came here because I thought you needed me. I thought I owed you something for your help, but I don't need you or your tribunal. I would have done it on my own. You know that. You said so yourself.
Yes. You would have found the pool all on your own. Then what would we have done? You would have splashed your talent over as many networks as you could find.
To hell with you! You hear me, Mercurian? I got it, and I'm keeping it, understand? Driving over here, I could feel it growing stronger and stronger. I have a gift, Mercurian. It's mine, and I'm keeping it.
Well, of course you are, Mr. Larson. As a matter of fact, the adjustments I made last night gave you the whole gift. All of it.
What?
The tribunal has made a decision, and through me, it has acted. Anything you do from here on, dear boy, you do to yourself.
Hell, I didn't want to join his organization in the first place. Oh, I thought I owed him, but if he doesn't want me, fine. There's a lot more money in being independent.
Now you're talking, Benny. We're going to be rich.
Oh, just another monkey laughing at me. I'll show him. God.
You want me to drive?
Oh, God, Mike, I'm getting all of it just like he said.
Slow down. Hey, watch the road.
Oh, my God, Mike, I can see everything. People, time, past, present, all of it. Oh, my God.
Give me the wheel. Let go of the wheel. Benny, watch out for the bridge.
Mike! Oh, my God! He's dead! Oh, my God! We're underwater! I gotta get out of here! Let me out! Let me out of here! Please!
The effect is that a swimmer died in you.
Oh, my God!
Once he succeeds in breaking the surface,
quiet,
the pool, he finds the lost again.
No.
Harmless. Totally without me.
The pool. That's what he meant. Oh, God, I'm gonna drown. Oh, God, Mercurian! Let me out of here! Mercurian! You can't kill me! I can see! Please, you can't drown me! I can see!
Ladies and gentlemen, step inside and begin a journey into your future. The amazing Adolfo will unveil your hopes, your dreams. Once you meet Adolfo, you will never forget. Your fortune in 20 words or less. Imagine the possibilities.
You have just heard Your Fortune in 20 Words or Less by Larry LeClaire. Featured tonight was David Ferry as Ben Larson, with Greg Rogers as Mike, Jack Wilson as Mercurian, and Wendell Smith as the cop, George Townsend. You heard Brian Taylor as the voice of the amazing Adolfo. Sound recording tonight was by Al Lambden, with sound effects by Eric Wagers. The production assistant was Constance Buer. Your Fortune in 20 Words or Less was produced and directed at CBC Edmonton by Laurie Seligman. The executive producer of Nightfall is Bill Howell.
Episode number 47 of Nightfall, number 9 in the second series. Your Fortune in 20 Words or Less, January 22nd, 1982. All right, here it is, the re-premiere of something that has been long sought after in collector's circles. Every year, Alex and Martin at the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention ask me if there's been any progress. Well, yes, there has been progress. We now have in our possession the first six, I believe, episodes of a feature that was heard on the WBAI drama series The Radio in 1970, an adaptation of the Marvel comic book hero Doctor Strange. And we have the origin for you right now, the first episode of Doctor Strange, produced by Charles Potter. And we'll be leaking these out, I guess, one a week for the next 6 weeks. There are more if I can get my hands on them. But here is the origin of Doctor Strange from WBAI's The Radio in 1970.
Call him Doctor Strange. Never have you known his like. It is a great pleasure to present, quietly and without fanfare, the first of a new series based upon a different kind of superhero, Doctor Strange. Somewhere in the city, between darkness and dawn, a tortured man tosses fitfully in his bed, vainly seeking peace that will not come.
No! No! Go away! Please! Go away! It's no use! I can't sleep! I dare not sleep! It's that same dream! Every night the same! But why? What can it mean? I can't fight it alone. I need help. I've heard a name spoken in whispers. Doctor Strange. He dabbles in magic. Perhaps he can help me.
The next morning, on a quiet side street in New York's colorful Greenwich Village,
I'm here to see Doctor Strange. He doesn't know me, but I need help.
Doctor Strange knows all. Enter.
Suddenly, a tall, brooding figure appears, wearing a striking amulet at his throat. The cold gray eyes of Doctor Strange pierce the mist of the room like a knife.
I come because I'm in trouble. I had to come. I'm desperate.
Naturally. All who come to me are. Speak.
It's my dreams. Every night I have the same dream over and over. It's horrible. I can't stand it.
Please, continue.
It's always the same. A haunting figure bound in chains appears. It stares at me. It never stops. Never.
Enough. Tonight, I shall visit you. I shall find the answer to your dream. Now go.
But how? How will you do it?
By entering your dream.
Later, Doctor Strange sits alone, silently, in front of an ancient incense burner as his physical body goes into an eerie trance.
It is time for me to meet the Master, from whom all my powers stem.
Like a fleeing ghost, his astral body leaves his mortal body and drifts away. Being without form or substance, nothing can impede its flight. It drifts effortlessly through the building wall, high into the sky, across the vast ocean, the continents, conquering all of space and time in its silent flight, until finally, in the remote vastness of Asia,
it is a good thing that you have come, my son. I sense danger surrounding you. You must be very cautious, for my days are numbered, and it is you who will someday take my place in the battle against the forces of darkness and evil.
I shall heed your words, respected master. I shall try to prove myself worthy of your trust in me.
So be it. Go now, for I am weary. But mark you well, should danger threaten. Depend upon your amulet.
That night, thousands of miles to the west, Doctor Strange, in his mortal form again, visits the man who has sought his help.
You must sleep now, and have no fear. I shall be nearby.
I don't know what it is about you, but there is something in you which gives me confidence.
Sleep has overcome him. He begins to dream. It is time for me to enter my trance.
And, as his body goes rigid and cold, the astral body of Doctor Strange drifts upward into the very dream itself, which spreads before it.
It is desolate here, lonely and foreboding. Wait! Someone begins to appear!
No! 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 Stay away! Please stay away!
You, whoever you are, why do you torment him so?
He knows well the reason why. I am the symbol of evil. The evil he has done. That is why I am chained so. If you do not believe, ask Mr. Krang.
Suddenly, another form appears, far more menacing than the first.
Doctor Strange! You come into the dimension of dreams for the last time! Never again shall you thwart me!
Nightmare, my ancient foe!
You know the rules of sorcery, Strange! Those that enter a hostile dimension must pay for it with their lives!
Meanwhile, in the semi-dark bedroom, the sleeper awakes.
He mentioned Krang! So that's what it's all about! There's Doctor Strange! He must have heard it all! He's in a trance, helpless! It's just as well! He mustn't be allowed to live with what he has learned!
Behold, Doctor Strange! You may witness your own destruction! Your mortal body is unprotected! Its life is about to be snuffed out! Nothing can save you now!
There is yet one who can. Master, hear me! I need thee, Master!
And, across the limitless void of time and space, two ancient ears hear the desperate appeal of Doctor Strange.
He calls. There is only one way to help him. Through the enchanted amulet. I must help. Concentrate. Concentrate.
And, halfway across the world, the mysterious amulet on Doctor Strange's chest begins to glow. Brighter. Ever brighter, until it slowly opens, revealing a fantastic eye within. An eye such as no mortal has ever beheld, such as no mortal would ever want to behold. Suddenly, from that blinding orb, a hypnotic ray shoots out, freezing his would-be attacker to the spot. And in that split second, taking advantage of the sudden interruption, Doctor Strange darts past his enemy in the dream dimension.
I made it. I'm safe. Back in my own dimension.
You'll be loaded me this time, Strange! But I'll get you yet! I'll get you yet! I'll get you yet!
And as the awesome amulet loses its blinding radiance, the astral body of Doctor Strange once again enters his mortal body.
I shall relieve you of your weapon and your hypnotic spell. Now speak, and speak only the truth. I command you.
It's over. You're still alive. That means I've lost. I was a fool to come to you. I didn't suspect that my dreams were caused by the many men I've ruined in business. Krang was the last of them. I robbed him, but he couldn't prove it. Now I'll confess.
It will be the only way you can ever sleep again.
Explore the mystic world of magic once again with Doctor Strange as your guide. Be with him next time when he is face to face with the magic of Baron Mordo.
Next week, another episode in the saga of Doctor Strange from 1970 from the WBAI series called The Radio. And now we turn to our never-before-rebroadcast episode of Gene Shepard. How do I know? Well, I did a lot of research on this one. Picked this up on eBay last year. We heard one so far. Another one of the eight shows on the reel seems to already be in circulation. But I checked in the last six, including the one we're about to hear, don't appear to be available in any form. So over the next who knows how long, we will be premiering one of these from the eBay reel. Today we have from Friday, February. No, that's that one. That one's the one that survives. What have we got for you today? It's here someplace. Car parking and subways from March 24th, 1971. Wednesday. Lost Gene Shepherd, resurrected for you here from the dustbin of history on WBAI New York.
Herb, that I looked exactly like the kind of guy tonight that makes you nervous when he walks into a diner. That's right. Oh, man, I ought to tell you. All right, bring it up large, Herb, please. All the peoples are out there. I think a little Hogan twanger here wouldn't hurt. Yeah, still working. I'm in a creative mood tonight. That can be very dangerous, gang. Just might as well warn you. How about saluting old Paul Krasner, my old buddy, tonight? What do you say, huh? Distinguished American. Yeah, I see. Hey, you know, I had a very, very fascinating experience the other day on a bus. And I don't know whether any of you have had this happen to you, but it's the first time it actually happened to me. I thought all that stuff was fiction. I'm sitting in a bus, see, and all of a sudden I hear this little voice singing, taste me, come on and taste me. And I look around, you know, it was very familiar, and I look around, and here's a guy, he's got a package of cigarettes. And it's jumping up and down on his hand. He's holding his hand out there, and the little thing is jumping up and down singing, taste me, come on and taste me. I couldn't believe it. And a couple of other people were looking kind of strange, and the guy took out a cigarette and stuck it away in his pocket, the box, you know. So I guess 1 out of 1,000 do dance, please, if you will, Herb. And so tonight we would like to salute Madison Avenue. Ooh, 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 ooh. From which your wonders flow. Yellow brick road of desire. Thank you, Herb. Now, if you reset that, I think we watch that other one in there. Everybody blames poor Madison Avenue for everything. Have you noticed that? Nobody blames themselves for anything. I haven't heard anybody say that. For a long time. Yeah, it's me. I did it. I am guilty of apathy. I am guilty of bad thinking. I am guilty of fuzzy reasoning. I have no logic. Furthermore, I am totally biased. Yes, I am the reason that the world is in such a rotten mess today. No. We can't decide whether it's Madison Avenue that did it, or whether it's the administration, who's ever happened to be in, whether it's a... Oh, no matter who you are today, you're totally scot-free. There's no such thing as organized crime, people. Remember that. There's only a lot of guys that steal hubcaps. And they better not have any nationality, either. They're just stealers. That's what they are. Stealers. And by the way, I better be careful because they're going to have a lobby pretty soon, too. I noticed that in the Car and Driver, one of the guys recently proposed, I think it was Warren Weath, he recently proposed a new organization that will come into being for people who live in Manhattan. Now, for those of you who don't live in Manhattan, you probably don't know quite what it's like here. It's purely abstract to you. And, you know, hardly anybody, even when they're doing an in-depth study, you know, on TV, they're always doing in-depth studies of things in 28 minutes, with John Parsons standing there with a microphone or a Gabe Pressman in-depth study. I like those. And they're always doing in-depth studies on everything from the drug traffic as to why people are moving out of New York. And yet they never talk about the real things. I mean, the real things that bug you about New York. For example, Warren Weath in the current Car and Driver mentions this. He says, let's take the simple problem of owning a car. He said, if you live in Manhattan, ultimately, you have only one attitude towards your car. You hate the rotten thing. Why? Well, because it's always there. First of all, you pay five times the garage rent of the average 10-room house in the average affluent community just to keep your car in total insecurity. Furthermore, you have to... Oh, listen, I have my car in a garage here, for those of you who are curious just how it actually works here in town. But many times when I want my car, see, I have to call the garage a good day and a half in advance. And I call them, see, very, very nervously. I must remember I'm paying them probably $12,000 a year to keep the car there, see. So I call them very nervously on the phone. And the phone rings for 15, 20 minutes. I know they're hiding, you know. I know where they are. They're back there sitting in some guy's car, all of them drinking beer and playing pinochle. And finally, if you think I'm kidding, so fine. Either that, they're all out with their girlfriends in the park with their, you know, with the cars. And so it goes, finally I hear this click. Yeah? I say, excuse me, this is Shepard. Oh, yeah, yeah, what do you want? I don't have all day to talk. Excuse me, I'm sorry to bother you. This is Shepard, but I'd like my car. What? I said, well, I'd like my car. See, you can see he's startled. I said, I'd like my car, if I may. Well, what do you mean? Well, we don't have no time to mess around with you. Well, what do you mean? You want your car now? You mean now? You're out of your mind. No, excuse me. I'm making an appointment so I can get it Wednesday. Now, this is Monday. I'd like it Wednesday. Oh, for crying out loud. Why don't you give us some notice, huh? Well, all right, okay, all right. Hey, Manny, that guy wants it again. Oh, yeah, well, bang, they're gone. Well, now, of course, I know full well that when I get there, my car will not be available. And as a matter of fact, everyone will look at me blankly. And the next thing that happens, I walk in the garage. You know, it's Wednesday. I've given them 2 or 3 days advance notice. I've sent them sometimes I pay my rent upwards of 3 or 4 times a month, you know, just to placate them. So I'll walk in and I'll say, excuse me, there's 3 guys over there arguing about, ah, come on, what do you mean? You told me they should have traded Crane Pool for crying out loud 2 years ago. That guy's a stumble bump. You know what I'm going to tell you? That Gil Hodges is a phony. Hey, you don't think he won that pennant, do you? Tom Siebel won a pennant, yeah. Well, they're all, finally I've come in and I say, excuse me, Tom. Yeah, what do you want? And I say, oh, they get the bad look. The bad look, you know, like I'm a panhandler. I suddenly feel like I'm trying to cash a nickel or a dime or something. And the guy looks at me and says, what do you want? I says, excuse me, my name is Shepard, and I've got this car. When you call? What are you supposed to do now? You're supposed to go down and get your car now. It's way in the back. It's behind all them bread trucks. Why didn't you call? Excuse me, but I did. Oh, come on. Why don't you? Yeah. And with that, 3 guys turn and walk away. They don't even talk to you. Well, about 10 minutes later, I finally cajole one into guy. A lot of silver has to cross the palm, see? And eventually, I'm standing on the floor waiting for my car. Now, I don't know whether this is boring you or not, but it's sure an exciting time. So I'm standing on the floor waiting to see, what's going to happen. 15, 20 minutes go by, and then I hear way down in the bowels of the garage, pow! I know he's now discovered my car, and he's just backed it into a concrete wall. He's now revved it up to 12,000 RPM. You see, the totally cold motor. They love to do this. And I see a thin stream of blue smoke with sparks in it come flying out of the basement. And it's, oh, my God, no. Oh, no, no. He slams the brakes on. I can see smoke coming out of the back of the car. And this is a typical moment at the garage. Well, I walk over. I'm very, very nervous now, you see, because my car has been in the garage now for over a week. And a car in a Manhattan garage in 1 week will age an average of 3 years. Well, you know, so I walk over to the garage. You know, I walk around the door. There's my car there. And I can tell it's my car. It's got my license plate on it. It's the only way I can tell it, because the side has been pushed in. Well, now, I know this is useless to argue, because when I was, you know, when I was new in New York, I used to say things like, I'll never forget the first time it happened. The whole side's pushed in, see? I said to the guy, what did you do to my car? Look at that. Oh, that car's only 3 days old. Look what you did to the car. Oh. He looks at me with this insulted look on his face. What are you griping about, Mac? I said, but look what you did to my car. What are you griping about? The door still works. Oh, I see. I missed the point. The door still works. So I have no complaint about that, as long as I can get in and get out of it. And, you know, it doesn't actually catch my foot and you know, tear my pants off when I'm trying to get into the thing. I have no complaints coming. And so I get into the car, and I notice that somebody has thoughtfully removed the gear shift knob. And I also notice that the cigarette lighter's gone, and my AM/FM radio has disappeared, and now there's a $12 Sears Roebuck-type radio in its place. And, yes, that's happened. Believe me, it's happened to me. So at that point, I realized that I'm in the clutch of forces far beyond my control. And I just put it in gear. By the way, now I only put it in the second gear because the guy stripped the first gear the second week in the garage. So I put it in second gear, and I go putting out into the street, thankful, nay, indeed, deliriously happy that they have just allowed me to have my car. They've allowed me to have it. So tonight, I would like to salute all my fellow wind-up rats who live in this vast den of iniquity, this enormous compost heap of humanity. I'd like to salute all my fellow strugglers against the vast forces. Mayor John Lindsay, who I'm sure battles the same battles I battle daily. Glorious, glorious Steinem, who undoubtedly Indian wrestles every week with the man at the garage. I would like to salute tonight George Plimpton, my old friend Leroy Neiman, other people I know who, like me, are struggling against the vast forces of slow, inevitable decay and rot. Ah, fun city. You mind if I sit in with these guys? Thank you. Reset that, Herb. We're going to use that. You can leave that right there. You don't have to reset it. Yes, indeed. Speaking of decay, now this... No. I don't want you to make any... This is WOR New York. Fun city. Oh, yeah, he made a great suggestion, though, in that piece in the magazine. The suggestion was that there's a new outfit will immediately begin to... will probably become into being called TAC, an outfit which trashes your car. You know what trash in a car is, don't you? See, of course, you know, the problem is if you have a new car in town, within 15, 20 minutes, your windshield wipers get ripped off. Who are these people who do these things? I'd like to talk to one once. I mean, they rip your windshield wipers off. The aerial on your car is immediately going to get torn off instantly, probably used in some kind of a vendetta a couple of friendly little neighborhood junkies. Within 5 minutes, your trunk is busted open. And, you know, just for rummaging. By the way, I keep two cobras in my trunk. And, yes, indeed, it's quite exciting. You know, I'll bet any money if you did something like that. I bet if you put a cobra in your trunk and some guy gets bitten, tearing your trunk open, you want to bet that you'd get sued and you'd have to pay? And furthermore, you'd have to apologize to him abjectly. Oh, yes, dear. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, they suggested a new device in Carney Driver, too, that has a sword, a harakiri sword that's concealed in your grill. And when a guy tries to open the hood to steer your carburetor, bah, right through the guts, it says it withdraws easily. Zap. It says guaranteed quick, easy, and it's a... Hey, do we have a couple of ding-dongs in there, Herbert? I knew it. All right, I hit the...
Palisade!
Have some fun. Come on over. Shows and dancing are free, so's the parking, so gee.
Come on over.
Palisades from coast to coast, where a dime buys the most. Palisades amusement park swings all day and after dark. Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum.
You like the cool. So come on over.
Yeah, Palisades Amusement Park opens Saturday, April 3rd. By George, it is spring. Greater than ever, with no increase in prices, man. This year, Palisades features over 12,000 thrilling rides and attractions, plus the world's largest kiddie park. Kiddies up to 45 years old are admitted free. Big free shows every week, and free parking always. So come on over. Palisades opening for the season, Saturday, April 3rd, and daily thereafter. Am I supposed to sing that again? Yeah, well, it says here, sing with verve and gusto. I mean, you mean to tell me that Bruce Elliott sings that with verve and gusto? I can hear John Gambling singing, Palisades has the rides, Palisades has the fun, come on over. You have another one in there, Herbert?
I'd like a word with all you consumer protection people.
Yeah, they're all out there.
Ever get to wondering if anyone's giving the public a fair shake? Well, we're Doxy, the clam folks. And we'd love to have you investigate our new product. It's called Doxy Clam Dip. Okay, so a clam dip is no big deal. Unless you happen to like clams. And unless you happen to be up to here with those clamless clam dips. Then our Doxy Dip's a pretty big deal after all. Because it's one half clams. That's right. You get a whole can full of tender, juicy, minced clams taped to a can of dip mix. Just zip them apart, mix them up, and start dipping those crackers and chips. Until then, you don't even have to keep our clam dip refrigerated. So if you'd like to investigate a really great product for a change, investigate ours. New Doxy Clam Dip in the ocean blue cans. You'll find that at Doxy, we don't mince words.
Oh.
Just clams.
Oh, that's shameless punning. That would make even Bergen Evans embarrassed. Palisades. Well, I like to see the Doxy is standing like the little boy with his finger in the dike there against all those bad people that are cheating all the, you know, all the buyers out there. How about giving us a... You think we ought to salute Ralph Nader tonight? Huh? Why? How about salute my Aunt Clara? I mean, she was an early Ralph Nader. I'll tell you that. Listen, my Aunt Clara walked around the whole world. In fact, she's still doing it. My Aunt Clara... Of course, paranoia is very common today. It's probably the most common thing that we have going. And the paranoia, of course, is a problem that we all face from time to time. There is not one of us who has not felt that something is lurking in the closet. Ain't one of us has not felt this. And, you know, so you begin to translate it into other terms. Now, I don't honestly feel paranoiac about my car getting mashed to bits in the garage. That's just the nature of things. I mean, everybody's car gets mashed. If only mine did. Listen, I saw one guy's car come down. It was, one of the greatest things I ever saw in a garage one time. I happened to be almost a witness to it. I was close enough to hear it. It's not so funny, but this is what happened. I was working in a large Midwestern city, see? And they had a big garage next to us in the next building. And it was in Cincinnati, in case you're curious. It was a big building next to us. And it was one of these six-story garages. You know, the big concrete ones with the ramps all over the place. And all day long, we had to have special insulation in our studios in this radio station because there was a constant roar of squealing brakes. Well, you know how it is. You've been around these garages. Well, you know, half of these cars are not even safe going 20 miles an hour, but on a straight line, on a level ground. But these guys are roaring around in there. I mean, they make Jackie Stewart look like greasy kid stuff. You know, guys like Graham Hill blench when they see what goes on at the average garage. So all day long, we're hearing these squeals. See, we were very used to it. Squeals roaring up and down. And these, apparently, the brake is a very important thing to a garage attendant. I mean, he drives mostly with the brakes going full blast. So, right in the middle of the afternoon, it was right after lunch, on a nice spring day just like this, you know, and I'm in the studio and I keep hearing the squeals and the roars going on outside, which is all part of the environment of modern city living, let's face it. And there's a constant uproar going on. When all of a sudden I hear, dead silence for about 30 seconds. And then, well, everybody left their desks. I mean, I was right in the middle of a newscast. I just threw the news down and said, so long, folks. Jumped up and ran out. I mean, this was far better than any news that I was going to see, you know, all day long. I did, right on the air. Forget it, folks. Bang. You know, I came a Beatle record or something. So anyway, I ran out with the rest of the crowd, and we looked out of the window because there was a fantastic crash on the side. Well, between our building and the next building was an alleyway, just a one-lane alley. And down at the bottom of the alley was an Oldsmobile. And right opposite our studios, which were three floors up, we were even with the third floor, was a giant hole in the wall that was exactly shaped like an Oldsmobile. You know how in the cartoons all the time when the guys like Donald Duck run through a wall, there's a shape and you can see their ears and everything. Well, here was this Oldsmobile-shaped hole. You know, some guy had parked the car. He was parking it, seeing he just hell-bent for election into this place, you know, 75 miles an hour, puts the brakes on, nothing. Boom! Right through. Well, he dropped three floors, and that Oldsmobile is, I'll tell you, it was the biggest Oldsmobile I ever saw. It spread out like a tromped-on toad frog. It just sort of spread out, a great big fat Oldsmobile, and the wheels were splayed out. It landed absolutely flat. Well, the guy wasn't hurt. He was getting out of it, see? Well, we hung around for a little while. We wanted to see what would be said when the guy showed up, you know, for his car. Well, I can imagine the scene. You know, they drag the car back into the garage, you know, and it's all splayed out, and he comes in to get it. I know what would happen. You know what happens when that happens in a garage. You walk up and you say, I want my car, and they tow it out, see, splayed out like that. It's big and fat like a tromped-on toad frog. He's, what happened? I said, what do you mean? He came in like that. That's the way it was when I come in here. Come on, let's go. Get them knees going there. Come on. If you're going to dance, dance. Pick them up, will you? Come on. Yeah, that's it. Put your back into the train. Come on, let's move. There you go. That's good. Quit stepping on my sandwich, will you? Come on, let's go. U.S. Army. Okay. Thank you.
Sitting around, thinking and dreaming, planning and scheming, which way to go. Sitting around, gotta go somewhere, gotta be somewhere that I just don't know. Looking around, people are grooving, everyone's moving, while I'm standing still. I gotta start, put it together, but I don't know whether I ever will.
place to get it together is in today's Army. If you qualify, you can choose from hundreds of modern training courses before you enlist. Today's Army wants to join you.
Yeah, man, now I'm moving. Know what I'm doing. I'm on my way.
For the location of your nearest Army representative, call 800-243-6000 toll-free.
Yeah, I'm liable to call those guys. You never know. You know, this place is liable to collapse overnight. I need a job there. Hey, listen, that reminds me, before we go any further, I want to get a couple of these little announcements out of the way. To begin with, I think I mentioned it last night, that as of April 5th, we go back on our old schedule, which is 10:15 to 11. And I don't have to do two shows anymore. You mean boo? That's fine. What do you, would you rather come in the morning and get it over early, huh? Would you like to do... Oh, man. I suppose if you had an all-night show, you'd like to do it, say, around noon, so you can get it over quickly, you know, and go see and play golf after your all-night show. Is that it, huh? Well, nevertheless, as of April 5th, we go back to our old schedule. As you know, this was only temporary. We were drafted to do two shows. I mean, kicking and screaming drafted. So now there's going to be another sock dollager take over from 9:15 to 10. Real knee slapper. Let's see, press conference? Yeah, we're going to do a thing on the press conference here. We've been getting calls all day long. Don't call WR, please. We're going to have another press conference. There's been all kinds of kids, right, who somehow missed the last one and or were at the last one and would like to have another one. And it was a wild scene, I'll tell you. Anybody who was there will tell you that. And we're having another one this spring, and it's going to be April the 8th, which is just 3 days, 8th, 9th, 10th, yeah, 3 days before our big TV show goes on the air, which will be the 11th, Sunday, 8:30 on PBS. But this press conference is going to be held at the Overseas Press Club, which is a very official place. That's where all the, you know, that's where all the big deals are held. It's where Milton Berle, you know, resigns from the bowling show, makes his official announcement. That's where Soupy Sales left Channel 5, made his big announcement over there. You remember Soupy Sales? Whatever happened to him anyway? Remember that? He's now gone to that great repository of momentary things. You know, like Tiny Tim, Monty Rock III. There must be a special Valhalla for people like that. A very special place of marathon dancers, you know, all kinds of people. Ex-roller derby queens. They all are there, you know, sitting around talking about the old days. But nevertheless, Thursday, April the 8th, at the Overseas Press Club. Now, this is only open to high school and college writers for papers and or guys who work on, like, the college radio station. And if you'd like your press credentials, you don't just show up there. You got to write now to Gene Shepherd. That's my manager's name, that. It's write to Gene Shepherd, WGBH-TV, WGBH-TV, Boston, 02134. And they'll send it to you. They're kind of sponsoring it, but it's, you know, it's a regular press conference like last year. WGBH is the big Harvard station in Boston on Channel 2. And they're instrumental in filming and taping this TV show I've been doing. Again, the address is Gene Shepherd, WGBH-TV, Boston, 02134. Now, the letter has to be on school letterhead. In other words, if your school has a letterhead or your paper has a letterhead, and it must be co-signed by your faculty advisor. Okay, just get the chief to say he's okay, you know, on the bottom. Only two students may attend from each school, no exceptions. That's what it says here. You're tough. You know, I'll tell you, it's so great living in the city and hearing the stuff that is said about the city on TV and in conversation. But there's no way to really tell people who don't live in New York what it's really like. I give you a little vignette, for example, like tonight. I get on the subway. See, I love to ride the subways. But believe me, the subway is New York. And if I don't know what it would be like if it was clean. And if all the fugitive emotions you get when you're riding in a subway car were not there. In short, I've ridden in subways in other cities where they have really, you know, beautiful subways, like you go to Montreal or a place like that. But it's not the same, you know. You vaguely feel like it's pretty and all that, but it just doesn't have the same pizzazz. Now, you get into the subway here in New York, it's boy, the same scene. First of all, you wait. If you're a real subway rider, you know where to stand on a platform, first of all. You can always tell the rookie subway riders, they never stand in the right places on the platform. To begin with, there's usually a place. If you get to the right place on the platform, in case a rumble breaks out in the subway, you're in the right spot to quickly duck under a gate and or hide behind a frozen pineapple machine, which incidentally is always, in all subways, it is rare that you find any machine that ever works in the subway of any kind, I mean gum or anything like that, because there's a group of people who rove from subway station to subway station battering the machines into submission. And there's somebody else who goes around and writes on every ad in the subway, "This demeans women." There's somebody who writes in black chalk, no matter what it is. It may be an ad for skid chains. It may be an ad for the New York Times. It may be an ad for Campbell Soup. They write on it, "This demeans women." And then three or four guys write underneath it various ribald remarks on the first one. So this is all part of the scene. And you notice various signs come and go. There'll be signs about the ban the bomb. Well, that's all gone. You know, that's disappeared now in the dust of ancient subway scrawls. And then for a while there'll be things like "Kill Johnson, kill LBJ." That's all gone now. That's disappeared into history. And then there's another one: "Stomp out Nixon." Now, of course, that's more current. And so this is all part of the it's kind of a groovy world you live in. You're part of it. I have never actually seen anybody do any of the writing. Have you, Herb? Have you ever? Now, I have ridden 27,000 subways in my time. In fact, I think I have a vague feeling sometimes that my life is measured by subway tokens, if I may paraphrase T.S. Eliot. And it just goes on and on. I'm always in a subway, always waiting for a subway, in a subway, or scurrying through a subway to look for a safe car. Whatever it might be, but you're always sort of deeply involved in it. So anyway, tonight, I'll give you a little example of it. Tonight, again, on the subway. I do not look like a Madison Avenue type. You'll agree, Herb. In fact, I'm the kind that commands instant respect among the rest of the thugs in the subway. This is all part of my protective coloration. I always have a suspicious bulge under my right arm. It looks like any minute now I may spring, see. So I come in, I squat down in the seat in the subway there. This is tonight. Well, I know that somebody's gotten in, sitting down opposite me. Well, I immediately see what's going on. The guy sitting opposite me is in drag. This is no girl sitting opposite me. So this is just part of the subway scene. This guy's in drag. He sits down, and he's got a fur coat, and he's got a wig, a blonde wig on, and he's got all kinds of beads, and he's got the real very feminine dress, except for the fact, of course, you could see that you can always tell when they're in drag because the ankles are a little, they're male ankles. These big, heavy, clunky ankles. The wrists are solid and big and round, you know, sinews and so on. And so I see opposite me is this guy's in drag. All right, that's the first scene. Well, I notice to my left is a little short, fat guy who has a thick beard, thick mustache, and very heavy glasses. And he looks like an intellectual, except for one thing. He is reading a comic book. And as he reads it, his lips move laboriously. And you'd suspect he's some kind of intellectual. See? And he's got on what looks like a Russian fur hat. And there's a button on the Russian fur hat. And it says, "Mozart Forever." And his lips are moving as he's reading his comic book. which is Superman meets Marvella. And his lips are and the guy who's in drag sitting opposite there starts coyly fluttering eyelids to all the people as they come in and get off. The only trouble is he hadn't shaved since yesterday sometime. It looked a little strange, but you get used to that. Three guys with black shades get on at 28th Street and walk through. One of them is carrying a bullwhip. All of them are covered with various buttons denoting various violent causes to which they are devoted. One spits heavily in the middle of the subway floor with a loud hawking sound and defies anybody to say anything about it. I see a cop change color rapidly when he realizes trouble is breaking out. He hurriedly leaves and goes into the next car. There's a creaking, and our little happy band of New Yorkers continues on their nefarious ways. Thank you, Harry. That was nice. Well, she keeps running out all the time. What's going on out there, anyway? You know. Well, it was very nice, but one good thing did happen, though, in the subway. Of course, a lot of good things happen. One thing that you're always doing in the subway, at least I'm always doing, you have to be careful. You never catch anybody's eye. This is a must. If you're I wonder how many guys wind up getting ripped open, wind up getting really wasted, getting really trashed, by making the classic mistake, which often happens to outlanders who do not know the local mores, and that is of actually looking somebody right in the eye. That can be disastrous. I mean, in fact, I've seen it develop into a major riot just because somebody caught somebody's eye on, say, the E train. And it sweeps from one end of the train to the other. I'm very good, though, at that. I'll tell you, I was in the middle of a riot that broke out one night on the 18th Street subway station. You ever see that? It's a very deserted one down there, see? And a riot broke out. You can just tell it. It begins to roll down, usually from the head of the train backwards because of the wind velocity and one thing and another. See, so I see the riot coming towards me. I hear people yelling and arms waving and little old ladies diving under the seats. And three cops ran past me running the other way, so I recognized it was a major one. So I knew that it was nip and tuck, you know. Either the riot was going to engulf me before I hit 23rd Street, or it was going to be just by the skin of my teeth. And sure enough, just as the doors opened at 23rd Street, this great roar, and they burst in through the car, you know, yelling, screaming, 400 kids, you know, shooting off Roman candles, hitting guys on the head with bowling balls. And I nipped out there, say, well, what you've got to do is be with them then, see? So there was a little old lady sitting opposite me. I gave her a shot in the liver. I said, take that, baby! And I hit her in the mouth, and three kids, you know, cheered me. And then, of course, when the thing rolled on past me, I sat there just like all the rest of the people. Because, you see, you have to take on protective coloration. You do. Of course, I didn't have any feeling of involvement with the little old lady because she tripped two people that ran past her, and she stabbed one guy. So, you know, it was all... And she was in drag, too. I suspect she was a cop from the 15th precinct, but anyway, the whole thing was very exciting. See, and it keeps you on your toes. And I just thought you ought to know this. Now I'm not against this. I hope you don't assume that Shepherd is against it, because there are certain great groovy things that are true about New York. Only New York can honestly say that it has Palisades Park.
Palisades has a ride, Palisades has
the fun. Come on over. Boom, 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 dance, it's a free, so the parking's so cheap. Come on over. Palisades from coast to coast, where a dime buys the most. Palisades amusement park spins all day and after dark. Bum, ba da bum, bum.
You'll have fun.
Fun. So come on over, yeah. Hey, Palisades Amusement Park opens Saturday, April 3rd. Get in line, gang. April 3rd and daily thereafter. I like that tune. Palisades has the rides. Palisades has the fun. Come on over. You got to say it right. Over. Well,
Anyway, I dig this whole scene. It keeps the roses in your cheeks. You don't dare lose your reflexes in New York. That's one great thing I'd say about this city. It keeps you in shape. Really does. I saw a riot one time break out on an escalator in one of the major department stores. And we were going up. You see, we were up about the fourth floor or something like that. There was a whole crowd of ladies going up, you know, the motley crowd, see. And we start up on this elevator. But sometimes at lunchtime, I just like to go out and ride escalators. It's just kind of fun. I ride up and down. I go to Macy's and ride up and down there. And I go to Magnificent Alexander's, ride up and down there for a while. It's kind of exciting. And so, especially when one of the things, you know, has trouble with the computer and it starts going like lickety-split, you know, like 400 miles an hour, and it hurls the people right into the accessories department there, and they go skidding around among the suitcases. So on this one day, I start on the escalator. We start going up. Well, just as it was going up, see, and you're looking up like that. Well, of course, you know, there's a lot of interesting things happen on escalators. Apparently, somebody made an indecent suggestion to somebody up near the top because she turned around and got very mad and screamed and hit the guy behind her. Well, the escalator didn't stop. It just kept going. Well, she was turned backwards. See, she hit him. You give him a swat like that. Well, she arrived at the top, and it slid her out. She fell over backwards, and three people piled up on top of her, and then it was Billy be damned. Now, you think I'm making this up. Anybody who lives in New York knows that, oh, yes, I was in a store up on the, you know, up in the Action place, you know, what's that bank that always says, well, don't you want to be where everything's at? Yeah, the chemical something? What is it? You know, swinging New York up there, where all the discotheques and, yeah, all the elegant people are. All right, okay, I'm getting this is my research department, yes? Yes, Dry Dock Country. I was up in Dry Dock Country one day. Oh, it was very exciting. I like to go up there and see how the truly elegant people live. And I wasn't there 5 minutes when somebody blew up a bomb. It just went right off right there in the men's clothing department. Pow! You know, the air was filled with the elegant tweed vests for about 5 minutes. A lot of people shrieking. And it was all part of the elegant dry dock country. You get used to that, too, up there. And I had a good thing happen, though, tonight in the subway. I sat down there. One of the things you learn when you're in the subway is that you constantly have to have reading material. It's very important in the subway. And if you don't have reading material, your eye is liable to catch somebody else's eye and then look out. It's liable to be no pancreas for you. So, I suddenly realized that I was not prepared. I got on the subway. I did not have any reading material. This little guy sitting next to me, the little pseudo-intellectual with the fur hat with the button that said Mozart Forever, and next to me was this little guy, and he's reading this comic book, and across from me was this guy in drag. And these three guys walked through swinging their bull whips and their canes, you know, wearing their black shades. And I felt naked. And I start to look around the seat, and sure enough, stuck behind me in the seat, you always find reading material. Like you'll find a 1954 copy of the Daily News. Yes, when the Yankees were on top. An interview by Hank Bauer, slugging outfielder. So I find this paperback. I couldn't believe it. I'm going to read to you the opening lines of it. Except for the ticking of the small watch on his wrist, the dungeon beneath Freiburg Castle was deathly still. Tick-tack, tick-tack, tick-tack. The watch seemed to clack faster with every complete turn of the second hand. Faster, as though to betray its owner, to hurry the death that would surely be his within the next hour, perhaps in the next few minutes. And then suddenly, through the darkening gloom, a naked girl appeared. Oh, wow. And so I'm reading this, and the guy who was in drag next to me, across the aisle from me, kept blinking at me. I guess he was trying to, you know, give me the signal. And the guy who was reading, yeah, me, I don't know why me, the guy next to me reading the comic book was falling asleep, and once in a while he'd hiccup. Another crowd walked by swinging their bull whips. One guy had a pair of brass knuckles out, and he was polishing them. And so I figured I'd better keep reading about this naked lady in this wonderful book that I had just discovered. It was Fun City, at its best. And I was having fun. Well, you got to have faith, friends. You got to have faith. The one thing that man is a human cockroach. It isn't that cockroaches are insect versions of man. It's the other way around. Man is infinitely adaptable. He will live off crumbs. He will live off scraps. There ain't no way to kill him. And this is especially true of a subway denizen. They will go on forever, and I'm one of them. Hey, fellas, garage, I didn't mean it. I hear the sound of my car burning up right now.